minutes to try to get. I'm just going to say, so we take a seat where we need
So we want to know that if there's empty seats, we can bring in some
more people. Hello, bonjour.
Yeah, this is actually fine. Yeah. On va vous demander de prendre vos sièges. I'll have everybody take their seats and we'll begin in about 1 minute. Okay, so hello, bonjour. Mon nom est Robert Primavesi, vice-doyen des études médicales prédoctorales. Et c'est avec grand plaisir que je vous souhaite la bienvenue à notre cérémonie des remises des prix et la réception de doyens. Good morning, my name is Robert Primavesi. I'm the Associate Dean for Undergraduate Medical Education, and I welcome you to the Faculty of Medicine Dean's Award Ceremony. It's wonderful to see our graduates here today, together with those who are so important in their lives, their family, and their friends. Obviously, we could not seat everybody together in this theater. However, we do have a live stream set up to the Martin Theater, so if we can actually wave, I think we'll be able to pick that up. Are they waving back? They're waving back. So if you're seated in the Martin Theater, you're an important part of the ceremony, and so we want you to feel part of this. Je me rejoins aujourd'hui de voir les nouveaux diplômés ainsi que ceux qui ont été importants pour eux au cours des dernières années, leurs familles et leurs amis. Malheureusement, nous n'avons pas assez de place pour tout le monde dans cet auditorium, donc je voudrais saluer tous ceux et celles qui sont dans l'amphithéâtre adjacent, car nous sommes vous tous, cette cérémonie ne sera pas la même. Et, I guess we're going to wave again. Okay. There we go. So, and not all our graduates, family and friends could actually be here with us today, so we actually are live webcasting these proceedings. And I know that Zachary Weinstein's 93-year-old grandfather bought a 48-inch flat-screen TV. So just so that he could watch us live this morning, all right? So to Dr. Joe Friedman in St. Louis, Missouri, and to everyone else who's watching live, hello. Before we begin, we'd ask you to please turn your cell phones and pagers to vibrate. Okay, so... At the grad ball on Sunday, Dean Eidelman captured the spirit of this class very well in his toast. The class of 2013 has weathered great adversity and has shown great resilience, adaptability, professionalism, and camaraderie throughout. This morning, we celebrate all of our graduates, including those who are recipients of a number of prizes. We are honored to have with us here today in the platform party senior members of the faculty who will be awarding some of the prizes. And I will actually introduce them. So we have Dr. Bergman, Dr. Galley, Dr. Murray is not here, Dr. Togas Tulandi, Dr. Preetha Krithnamurti, Dr. Greg Medarisian, Dr. Jerry Fried, Dr. Saul Franco. Len Levine is not here either. Dr. David Rosenblatt, Dr. Namta Gupta, and Joanne Liebosch. I would also like to acknowledge the assistant deans of undergraduate medical education who make my work infinitely easier. And so Dr. Salim Razak, assistant dean for admissions, equity, and diversity. Maybe you can just stand up for a second. Dr. Namta Gupta, assistant dean for student affairs. And Dr. Gilles Brosseau, who's not here today, Doyen Adjoint, Campus Santé Outaouais. I would like to recognize our special guest, Dr. Sandra Miller, who's a recipient of the Osler Award for Outstanding Teacher. You will hear more about Dr. Miller at the convocation ceremonies this afternoon. We're also very pleased to have the Osler Fellows for the class of 2013 with us. But our most honored guests are you, the family and friends of these accomplished young people. As we celebrate them, we know that you are a big part of why they are here today. Thank you for supporting our students throughout the last 4 years and more. Nos étudiants ont besoin de plus qu'une faculté pour leur formation. Chaque étudiant a besoin de ses proches pour le soutenir. And so to our graduates, wherever you call home in the future, you will always belong to the McGill family. J'aimerais maintenant vous présenter Dr. David Eidelman, vice-principal santé et affaires médicales et doyen de la faculté de médecine. Dr. David Eidelman, vice-principal health affairs and dean for the faculty of medicine.
Thank you very much. Merci beaucoup, Rob. Thank you very much, mesdames et messieurs. Je vous souhaite la bienvenue. Félicitations à tous. Congratulations on this fantastic day. So we have a number of distinguished guests here. There will be a new member joining the class later this afternoon, Professor Françoise Barry-Sunissi, who's a Nobel Prize winner for together with Luc Montagnier for the discovery of the HIV virus. And she will be receiving an honorary doctorate at convocation this afternoon, but she just flew in from Paris, so she's resting right now. We have Dr. Scriver, who's here, who tells me that this is going to be the first convocation that he's participated in, but we're delighted he's here today. Dr. Scriver, as you know, with Clark Fraser, made seminal contributions to the study of genetics here at McGill and Quebec, Canada, and around the world. And we already heard about Dr. Sandra Miller, the outstanding recipient of the Osler Teaching Award. So I want to, after greeting everybody, I want to particularly welcome our students, to have students, you must have teachers. And to have teachers, you must have great teachers. And we are pleased to have a collection of great teachers, the Osler Fellows. So this is, for those who don't know, this is a unique group of teachers. These are the 2013 Osler Fellows who have guided, mentored, advised, cared for this class over the last 4 years. And, you know, at the heart of our faculty is a philosophy and a tradition which dates back to Osler, which puts the patient at the center of what we do, and the science imbuing everything that we try and do. So it's now my privilege to ask the Osler Fellows to rise, please. So I'll now read the following tribute. The Osler Fellows have witnessed and contributed in an enriching and ennobling way to the inspiring transformation of their students into young physicians. Their special mentorship, a privilege of the highest order, has helped prepare the class of 2013 to assume the awesome and singular responsibility of healers and professionals. For this, we are profoundly grateful. Congratulations. It says here that now I have to give a speech. So, as dean, I've been dean for a year and a half, and I've had to take on a whole bunch of different tasks, and last year I got to do this once, and this is like the most awesome responsibility you can have. You have to think of what you can say which will influence the class. And lorsqu'on l'apprête à entendre des mots de sagesse, il est souvent mieux de savoir qui s'adresse à vous. Depuis 18 mois, en ma qualité de doyen, je n'ai contribué qu'à une infime partie de votre formation, mais je représente le symbole de la faculté, ainsi que son solide et fier engagement envers vous. So as I said, this is my second graduation ceremony. I graduated in 1979. A mere 34 years ago, I was more or less where you are now. And to put that in perspective, I made this joke last year for those who were here, but it's a year older. If you are dean 34 years from now, it'll be 2046. Now, I'm not the only person in here who has been in this position before. There is, in fact, a couple who are here who graduated to this day, I'm told, 30 years ago, and has the privilege of having a student in this class. They're sitting over here. I won't mention their name, but their son is Etienne. Now, 1979 was a very different time. Now, you've seen these pictures on the side of the walls. I'm sorry for the Martin Theater. You can't see these hippy-dippy pictures of people who look like they're from another, completely another era. My hair was actually worse than that. But in 1979 was a very different time, and I was a very different person then, of course. But in some ways, everything is exactly the same. Of course, I was unbelievably excited to finish med school. I had achieved my childhood dream of becoming a doctor. I was nervously anticipating my new job as what was known then as a straight medical intern. It was going to start in a few weeks. Like many of you, I was facing the prospect of moving to a new city. Like some of you, I was engaged to be married. And I can't say, other than the birth of my children, I can't remember a time that was where I had the same feeling of simultaneous elation and mortal dread. Of course, we live in a different world than in 1979. I graduated before the advent of evidence-based medicine, MRI scans, the routine use of molecular biology for diagnosis or diagnostic procedures. In those days, the economy was always growing. Aging was a subject of little interest that only unusual people like Dr. Bergman studied. And our social media consisted of the telephone and the water cooler. Some of what I was taught as gospel truth by the esteemed professors of this university, particularly in regard to things like heart attacks and ulcers, turned out to be completely wrong. And so it will be with you. Much of what you've been taught will be only a springboard or a framework of new knowledge that will lead to the next breakthrough. You'll see the development of technologies that will transform medicine even further, things we haven't even thought of yet. There'll be new understanding of biology that will allow you to accomplish things that I couldn't even imagine possible in 1979, and I have difficulty predicting now. On the other hand, caring for us baby boomers will force you to develop new models of care, to work in teams with other health professionals, and to learn much more about how to carry out good care despite shrinking resources. Of course, I can't predict the future. What I do know is, no matter what, despite what you may think, you will be well prepared for what is coming your way. McGill has been in business for a long time. As Canada's first faculty of medicine, we've adapted to and led change throughout our history. Of course, as of today, we includes you, because as of now, you are alumni. Forever part of the class of 2013. And you should be very proud of your class. Vous devriez être très fier de votre promotion. Vous avez fait face à des obstacles que peu de cohortes de notre histoire ont eu à affronter. Labor disputes, strikes, changes in the leadership of the faculty, social turmoil that hasn't been seen in this part of the world in decades. Yet, despite these challenges, you've thrived. And not only did we teach you, but you taught us. The revised new curriculum that starts next year includes notions that we were inspired by your ideas, your suggestions. And in addition, a thing I'm most pleased about and most proud of, your class was particularly engaged in community, in the community, really perpetuating the idea of McGill as an organization that gives back to that community. And you should be very proud of that too. Cette classe est remarquable dans un autre sens aussi. Quand j'ai terminé mes études en 1979, Montréal était toujours une ville plus ou moins anglophone. De plus, à l'époque, la majorité de nos professeurs étaient anglophones unilingues. Comme presque tous les autres étudiants, je babutillais un français approximatif. Donc, le fait qu'une grande majorité de la classe soit bilingue ou même trilingue et que l'on ait commencé à enseigner en français à McGill signifie que les choses ont vraiment changé ici. So here you are, class of 2013. You have made it to the end of a long road. You've accomplished something extraordinary. You now belong to a special society, the holders of the MDCM degree, Medicinae Doctorum et Chirurgiae Magistrum, healers and teachers of medicine. Sounds very impressive, and it's certainly very cool. But you need to keep things in perspective. Completing med school only prepares you really how to learn to be doctors. You're still only at the beginning. As you move forward in your careers, you will learn many things and forget even more. You will grow as a person and adapt to change. And you will notice that somehow medical students get younger every year. You will discover things about yourself that you never knew, while others will discover things about you that everyone has known since pre-K. It will be both a thrilling and a humbling experience. Whatever you do, wherever you go, remember that while you need to take your job seriously, never take yourself seriously. And remember that now you are responsible for your own learning. As I always tell residents and students, never believe what people tell you, especially not the attendings. Check it yourself. Finally, keep in mind that McGill's mission is to serve society, to make our communities well, keep them well, and prevent their illnesses. Do this with passion, without exception, and your career will flourish. And always remember, as your alma mater, we will be there for you. This is your second home. Now, before closing, I would remind you that you did not do the last 4 years alone. Together with professors and staff, there are people in this room and in the adjacent room who were decisive in your lives in the last 4 years, including your classmates. So, class of 2013, please stand and turn to the people who are part of your success in this room in the Martin Theater. Yes, this means you. Thank you for being there. Nous vous remercions. Thank you for being there. Nous vous remercions de nous avoir soutenus through all the trials and tribulations, rants and raves, and today in celebration of this spectacular milestone. But in the end, this is your day, dedicated to you and those close to you, your family, parents, grandparents, sisters, brothers, girlfriends, boyfriends, partners, friends, children, all in your personal world who set out on this McGill adventure with you. It is a day richly deserved and hard won. On behalf of the McGill Faculty of Medicine, congratulations, acceptez toutes nos félicitations, revel in this day, throw your hats high, dance in circles, laugh, cry, celebrate. You've earned it. Congratulations.
Thank you, Dr. Eidelman. As we begin the clinical awards presentations, I would like to publicly acknowledge the students who were previously awarded prizes throughout the past 4 years. Names are listed on the page in your program immediately preceding the list of the class names. And we obviously can't go through all of them here this morning, but congratulations to all of you. Alors, pour débuter la présentation des prix cliniques, je voudrais mentionner les noms des étudiants qui ont reçu des prix au cours des dernières 4 années. Vous trouvez leurs noms imprimés dans votre programme avant la liste de la classe de 2013. Félicitations à tous nos récipiendaires. Nous débuterons avec les prix de département. Ces prix ont été choisis par les départements de diverses disciplines et seront présentés par leur directeur ou leur délégué. We will start with the departmental awards. These awards are decided by the clinical departments and are presented by the department chair or their delegates. When your name is called, please come down to the front of the theater to receive your award. We have a photographer who will take individual photos of each winner, and these photos will be made available to you electronically. All right, so the John H. Anschuler Prize in Family Medicine is presented by Dr. Howard Bergman, Chair of Family Medicine, to Kristen Maria Lambricanos-Raymond. The J. Francis William Prize in Medicine and Clinical Medicine was presented by Dr. Peter Galley, Clerkship Director of Internal Medicine, to Alexandra Milas Marquez. The David E. Sherman Award in Geriatrics Medicine is presented by Dr. Jose Moret, Division Director of Geriatric Medicine, to Philippe Pachy. So this next award has special significance to me because it was established by my medical class, the class of 1985, in honor of one of our classmates. The Brian Newton Memorial Award in Obstetrics and Gynecology is presented by Dr. Togas Tulandi, Academic Vice Chairman of Obstetrics and Gynecology, to Sophia Husseini. The Newell W. Philpott Prize in Obstetrics and Gynecology is presented by Dr. Togas Tulandi, Academic Chair of Obstetrics and Gynecology, to Marie-Pierre Ouellette. The Montreal Children's Hospital Prize for Pediatric Excellence is presented by Dr. Preetha Krishnamurti, Clerkship Director of Pediatrics, to Etienne Saint-Louis. The Mona Bronfman-Schechmann Prize in Psychiatry is presented by Dr. Greg Medarisian, Director of Psychiatric Undergraduate Medical Education, to Archana Sundi and Chiara Ciroli Palumbo. The Psychiatry Prize is also presented by Dr. Greg Medarisian, and it goes to Liliana Ivanova Chelyakova. And unfortunately, Liliana could not be with us here today. So we accept the prize for her. The Robert Forsyth Prize in Surgery is presented by Dr. Jerry Freed, Chair of Surgical Education, or Chair of the Department of Surgery, to Stefan Nicolaou. The Campbell Keenan Memorial Prize in Clinical Surgery is also presented by Dr. Jerry Freed to Alyssa Power. The H.S. Birkett Memorial Prize in Otolaryngology is presented by Saul Frankel, Chair of the Department of Otolaryngology, to Maud Capania Vaillancourt. The Dr. Mark Cohen Prize in Ophthalmology, and Dr. Cohen is in the audience with us today. Class of 92. Presented by Dr. Len Levine, Chair of Ophthalmology, to Christian El Haddad. The Charles Scriver Prize in Genetics is a new prize created this year by the Department of Genetics, and Dr. Scriver is also in the audience. And it's presented to a student who's actually completed their PhD during medical school, and the prize goes to Demetrius Katsounis and Patrick Williams. So this marks the end of the departmental awards, and we move on to the non-departmental awards. And although the nature of the award is such that only one person is chosen, it is not an easy task with so many exceptional students, and we will post a list of nominees with each prize. Même si un prix est attribué à une seule personne, ce n'est pas une chose facile de choisir parmi tant d'études exceptionnelles. Je vous présenterai dans la liste des nominés ainsi que les gagnants de chaque catégorie. So there are actually two students who have received the Lieutenant Governor of Quebec Youth Medal this year, which was presented in Quebec City in the month of April. And this is really just to acknowledge them. We won't have them come down. But to Alexandre Boutet and Marie-Pierre Ouellette. Following two non-departmental awards are decided entirely by the students of the graduating class. And the Strawn-Hartley Award, established by the medical class of 2006, in memory of their classmate Strawn Alexander Hartley, to commemorate Dr. Hartley's legacy of friendship, sport, and scholarship. The Strawn-Hartley Award was presented at the graduation ball on Sunday to Gabrielle Friere. Congratulate Gabrielle. So the Ronald Douglas Neymark Award also has special significance to me because I got the award the very first year it was given out in 1985. So this award was established by the class of 1984, and it's given to the member of the graduating class who, in the eyes of his or her peers, most enriches the life of the class. It is awarded by Dr. Namta Gupta, Assistant Dean for Student Affairs, and it goes to Phil Vortumis. I didn't get a frame with my award. Okay, les prochains prix ont été choisis par les étudiants ainsi par les membres des facultés de médecine. The following awards were decided both input from the students and from the faculty. The Alexander D. Stewart Prize is awarded to the member of the graduating class who presents in every respect the highest qualifications to practice the profession. It is presented by Dr. Namta Gupta to Daniel Bloom. The Dr. Alan Spanier Prize for Professionalism in Medicine is awarded to the member of the graduating class who has maintained high academic standing and exhibited a high standard of professionalism and compassion during the practice of medicine component of the curriculum. It is presented by Dr. Namta Gupta to Alexander Lawandi. Elizabeth Ann Monroe Gordon Prize is awarded to the student who embodies the highest qualifications of practice profession and has demonstrated outstanding leadership qualities. It is presented by Dr. Namta Gupta to Samir Apte.
Thank you.
We now see where the class gets it spared from. The Riley Madsen Memorial Prize is awarded to a student with good academic standing who has demonstrated exceptional warmth and empathy towards patients. This prize is also presented by Dr. Gupta. It goes to Lucy Manchester. And Lucy cannot be with us today, so we accept the prize on her behalf. The McGill Alumni Society Prize is awarded to a distinguished student for excellence in high academic standing. It is presented by Joanne Liebosch, Managing Director of Development and Alumni Relations for the Faculty of Medicine, to Jonathan Konevsky and Chiara Ciroli Palumbo. Les deux médailles d'or attribuées à des étudiants sont des marques de reconnaissance pour leur rendement académique. The two gold medals are awarded solely on academic merit. The Wood Gold Medal is awarded to the student who has the most outstanding clinical performance in the clerkship period. It is presented by Dr. David Dean David Eidelman. Too many D's. And it goes to Alyssa Power. The Holmes Gold Medal is awarded to the student graduating with the highest aggregate standing in the entire medical curriculum. It is presented by Dr. Eidelman to Stefan Nicolaou. Les palmarès doyens reconnaissent les étudiants qui ont classé dans les premiers 10% au cours des quatre dernières années. The Dean's Honor List recognizes the students in the top 10% of the class for the overall 4 years. So as I call your name, please come down. And because you never get enough of Osler, you will get your own very copy of The Life of Osler. And we're going to take a group picture in the front. And if you could just hold your applause, I'll call all the names so you can actually hear all the names as I call them down. Okay, so Stephanie Janine Alloway, Daniel Brian Bloom, Alexandre Boutet, Carolina Capelle, Catherine Dehay, Isabelle Dupuis, Katia Faustini, Tania Giannone, Cedric Godbout-Simard, Joshua Ryan Gerberg, Sophia Husseini, Jonathan Konevsky, Jean-Philippe Lacroix, Stefan Nicolaou, Marie-Pierre Ouellette, Alyssa Power, Karine Provost, and Chiara Ciroli Palumbo.
Okay, it's pretty good. Very good. Okay, I do two more like this. You're excellent. Okay, I need your best McGillian smile, please. Excellent. One more time. You guys are pretty serious. Please. Okay, excellent. A final one. Great. Thank you so much.
So you should be able to read that book before July 1st. Je demande maintenant à tous nos nouveaux diplômés de bien vouloir se lever. Même si nous avons souligné plusieurs récipiendaires, votre classe est remplie de personnes extraordinaires qui seront des leaders et des modèles à suivre dans les années à venir. I ask the entire graduating class to stand, and although we have publicly recognized some prize winners, the class is full of extraordinary individuals who will be the leaders and healers in the years to come. Please join me with acknowledging this class. So I now invite Samir Apte, class president, to address his class, their invited guests, and to introduce the recipient of the Osler Award for Outstanding Teaching, Samir.
Thanks, Dr. Primavesi. It is my great honor to be speaking to all of you today, the class of 2013, and your friends and families. Even now, 4 years later, I am still truly confused as to how I was chosen to be part of a class that is not only immensely well accomplished, driven, and intelligent, but also ridiculously good-looking. On behalf of the class of 2013, thank you to our deans, our mentors, our faculty, our wonderful administrative staff, and of course, our patients. Each of them has had an integral part in our journey towards today, and they've taught us in their own way about the art of medicine and the privilege it is to practice it. But I also want to take a moment to recognize the unsung heroes of this day. Those are the people that have supported us throughout our lives, helped us when no one else would, and even probably when we didn't deserve it. And at least in my case, never stopped believing that even after 11 years at the same institution, I would finally find my way. To our parents, our guardians, and loved ones, you might think that this ceremony is for us, but I'm certain that every single graduate here today knows the truth, that this ceremony is really for you. So thank you. You know, I still remember the first time my family knew I was going to medical school. As I'm sure all of you can relate, almost immediately after passing our first exam in Basis of Medicine Unit 1, our friends and family inundated us with medical questions. From the use of tamoxifen in breast cancer to the clinical progression of Reginald Barclay syndrome, we were expected to know the answers. So we did what any reasonable person would do in that situation. We turned to Google. The graduates in the room will understand the true irony of the story. Not only is a first-year medical student totally unqualified to answer medical questions, but the bomb Unit 1 exam we had all just passed, which somehow lent us legitimacy in the eyes of our families, has absolutely nothing to do with the practice of medicine. But if we look back, these experiences of answering our family's questions were really the first real-world examples of the responsibility that comes with being a physician. Here we learned a really important lesson. Not only were we expected to know how to help, but also, and perhaps more importantly, to admit when we couldn't and to ask for help ourselves. As the years of medical school passed, however, our knowledge and experience began to grow. I'll never forget when Dr. Daniels smirked and brought a fresh placenta onto the overhead projector to show us the chorionic play, and of course all of you laughing dumbfoundedly. 2 years later, this lesson flashed back to me as I was doing a delivery in obstetrics, and afterward, I looked down at my shoes and realized that I really should have invested in a pair of shoe covers. In anatomy, we learned about the structure and function of the human body and became the best of confrères and consoeurs. In surgery and internal medicine, and then in surgery and internal medicine, we learned how to use that basic knowledge to actually care for our patients. Slowly, almost imperceptibly, our confidence in ourselves and our awareness of our limits grew. And finally, here we are, ready to take the next step. Over those 4 years, while the questions from family and friends did not stop, we became less and less able to just deflect their queries with responses like, well, I'm not a doctor yet, and it'll still be a few months before I graduate. Slowly leading up today, the out of telling people to go and see a real doctor all but vanished. And today, as we stand here together with the newly minted MDCM letters behind our names, that out is replaced with the fear of knowing that on July 1st, we will be the doctor and we will have to find the answers. In reflecting on this, I realized that while the degrees we were given today might increase our responsibility, our credibility, and for sure, our workloads, those letters are not and never will be what really makes us physicians. Let me explain. Earlier in my talk, I referred to a syndrome, Reginald Barclay syndrome, and because I know that many of you are just itching to run to your Harrisons and look it up, and I'm sure that a few of you keeners already have on your smartphones, I'll save you the trouble. It doesn't exist. It comes from an episode of Star Trek. And that is really the crux of my talk. Our physicianship and the responsibility of being called doctor, while amplified by the MDCM we now hold, actually comes from the qualities I know that each of you amazing people possess. It's your insatiable drive to always make sure there is not a Barclay syndrome that you don't know about. Not for yourselves, but because you know that your knowledge and your expertise is the only thing standing between your patients and the absolute best care that you can afford them. And through the amazing mentorship and experiences of the last 4 years at McGill, we have learned those lessons. That is why, after knowing each of you, I can say without a doubt that your patients will be in the best of hands. Now when our families ask us questions, we no longer hesitate in our responses or consult Google for the answers. Instead, we use UpToDate. So, today we are doctors. We've seen each other through the very best and the very worst of times. 2 years ago, I stood up here before you as we got our short white coats, and I asked that we would always have each other's backs. Now, 2 years later, as we all prepare to disperse to different parts of the continents, let us always remember that medicine is not a lonely profession, and that no matter what happens, we will always have each other to rely on. Thank you, and good luck on July 1st. Now, as president of the class of 2013, I'm also humbled to have the privilege to grant the Osler Teaching Award this year. This is an award that is chosen solely by us and given to a teacher who we deem has had the most significant impact on our medical education. This particular professor is one of the most enthusiastic teachers I've ever known and also one of the most dedicated. After suffering a terrible accident, the first thing she wanted to do was to come back to the anatomy lab and teach. And lo and behold, within the month, there she was, enthusiastically showing confrères and consoeurs the apex of the lung. So please join me in congratulating this year's Osler Teaching Award winner, Dr. Sandra Miller.
Dear confreres and consorts, first, I feel very privileged, of course, to be your choice for the Osler Award, and I certainly see this as a great honor. Thank you very much. I've been reflecting this past week on a few things that have happened, and one of those thoughts revolved around how frequently during the past few years, and I think this started with your class probably about 4 years ago, medical students have been coming to me with the exclamatory statement of, Dr. Miller, you taught my father anatomy way back in med school. And that unfortunately is true, but I don't know whether to be flattered that their fathers still remember me from way back then, or to be concerned that the decades are flying by too fast. The second thing I've been thinking about is how, over these years, the practice of medicine has changed. How much more you will all have to know as you go through the next few decades of your career. You will be the beneficiaries of a wealth of new knowledge. For instance, regeneration medicine and stem cell technology, biological response modifiers, and laser surgery that's now applicable to the whole body, not just the eyes. These were all unknown only 20 years ago. Where would we be, of course, without technology and our precious computers? But technology doesn't advance medical science. People do. People like you. And as the years pass, some of you may feel the call of the research lab and become clinician scientists. We hope that will be true. And the corporate world, of course, has metastasized into the field of medicine in many ways, mostly for the good, of course. We now hear things like, well, terms like commercialized biomanufacturing, and new drugs are being produced all the time. You'll certainly be bombarded regularly by the pharmaceutical companies, especially those in family medicine, and even specialists, actually. But patients have changed, too. They no longer see practitioners or specialists as demigods not to be questioned. They come to their doctors these days somewhat more knowledgeable about their own condition. And why is that? Well, patients, too, have technology, and WebMD is only an arm's length away. Family doctors and specialists of tomorrow will have to be ready with answers and on their toes in meeting patients. Another issue involving modern medicine is the proliferation, of course, of natural healthcare products available nowadays as OTCs. And the major complication here, of course, is that patients believe all the hype that they read or see on the computer about these unproven, untested, so-called remedies. This has resulted, of course, in a lot of self-medication by patients, often with serious consequences. But the natural health products industry isn't going away anytime soon, and the onus will be on the family doctor and the specialist to keep very much informed on what's going on in this area. You're entering a whole new world of medicine, fraught with problems that didn't even exist 20 years ago. For example, environmental toxins, antibiotic-resistant bugs, embryological defects and autism now rising at alarming rates, and we don't know why. But on the positive side, lifespans have significantly increased, even over three decades ago. Longevity, however, is creating a real demand for geriatric specialists and gerontologists to research the various forms of dementia and age-related decline in immunity, all of which are increasing as the population ages. Finally, this afternoon marks the end of your formal compulsory learning, but the bulk of your learning will really begin when you're on the job. To those of you staying in the MUHC, remember that you can always come back, especially to our Department of Anatomy and Cell Biology, to review or enhance your anatomical knowledge. Residents and many specialists return to our department every year, often to test potentially new surgical approaches on our cadaveric materials. So you're always welcome back. All that's left, I think, for me to say, and to stay within my 5 minutes, is to wish you a wonderful afternoon and a great career ahead. all my best.
Almost there. So 2.5 years ago, you were in this very same amphitheater with some of the same guests, and you were presented with your short white coat, a symbol of responsibilities that you were to undertake as you began in the medical profession. Traditionally, in the McGill hospitals, medical students wear short white coats and graduates wear long white coats. And as a special present to the class, Dean Eidelman is presenting each of you with a long white coat. And as a symbol of your new responsibilities you now assume, including the responsibilities to teach your junior colleagues. Comme le veut la tradition, à l'Université de McGill, nos étudiants portent un sarrau court et nos résidents un sarrau lent. C'est avec plaisir que le doyen remettra dans à chacun d'entre vous un sarrau lent, symbole de vos nouvelles responsabilités. So you have a gift bag to pick up in room 634 before 12:30. All right, and then I have some people to thank before we close. So first of all, I'd like to thank Leo Titero and Maya Zaremba, our special events team, who are responsible for the decorations, the food that you're going to have after this, and making everything run smoothly in this day so special. Thank you to Diana Colby and the communications team for coordinating the awards presentations. Thank you to the Development Alumni Relations team, led by Joanne Liebosch. That includes Man Lee, Catherine, Chelsea, who are standing against the wall on this side. I'd like to thank MedIT and the special AV team for assuring that this morning ran without technical errors. Special thanks to Silvana DiLolo, our Student Affairs Records Officer, and all the undergraduate medical education office staff. So they really helped today run on time, and for everything you've done for the students over the last 4 years to get them to this day, these students could not have graduated without you. I'm actually going to call out names in alphabetical order, and maybe you can wave when your name's called, otherwise I'll get this wrong. So Kate Allen, I don't think Kate's here. Anne Briggs. Toby Cape. Mary Chicheri. Heidi Chung. Carolyn Sichon, John Cloutier, Amanda Conca, Silvana DiLolo, Maryse Grignon, who's not here. Nicole Guédon. Shiek Tsai. Kalina Klimp. Elizabeth Lefebvre. Anna Lee. George Lee. Zita Matthew. And Danielle Moranville. It's curious nobody's last name begins after M. Alors, je vous invite donc maintenant à vous rendre au sixième étage ainsi que le cinquième étage pour partager un goûter afin de célébrer nos nouveaux diplômés. I invite everybody to... So just before you leave, just remember that. So food will be served on the sixth and fifth floor. If vegan and vegetarian food is only on the fifth floor, if that's where you're looking for it. All right. The convocation ceremony starts at 2 p.m. sharp on lower campus. All right. So you need to be at the bookstore by 12:50 to pick up your gowns. All right. So make sure that you are on time. And there will be taxis available on the first floor for your guests if they need a taxi to get to lower campus. And you can exit by both the doors at the top and the doors at the bottom. Dr. Eidelman et moi allons demeurer l'avant pendant quelques minutes encore que vous souhaitez prendre des photos. So Dr. Eidelman, I will be around for a few minutes in case you want to take photos. Congratulations to all. Si vous souhaitez tout un merveilleux après-midi, mes félicitations à chacun et chacun entre vous. Bonjour.
Nicolas? Yeah.